I want to speak this evening on a parable of Jesus that we find here in Matthew chapter 13 within the verses that we've read. It's one of those parables where we have not only the parable itself, but we also have Jesus' full explanation for what this parable means. And it's a parable that speaks to us about the way things are in the world in which we live. And it also speaks to us about the way things will be at the end. And so I want to speak, first of all, about what we're taught in this parable. It's the parable of the wheat and the tares. You have the parable from verse 24 through to verse 30. And then you have the explanation in verses 36 through to 43. I want to consider, first of all, what we're taught here about the way things are now. The way things are here in this world as we presently experience it. Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. And when the man's servants see with their own eyes what has happened, they offer to go and to pull up these tares, which they know to be weeds. And the man tells them that they're not to do that, lest in pulling up the tares, they also uproot some of the wheat. And then later on, Jesus explains what this parable means. He gives a detailed explanation of what the parable means. Verse 37, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Jesus himself is the sower. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. And this parable illustrates well the nature of the devil. This is what the devil is like. He is someone who loves to spoil what is good. He loves to bring corruption, and he is very devious in so doing. Imagine if you were a gardener, and every time you planted something in your garden, every time you sowed out a new lawn, or planted some new flowers or vegetables, you have a neighbor who sneaks in at night, and he scatters a whole lot of weeds or dandelion seeds or whatever it might be in your garden. Well, you would soon get very annoyed with that neighbor. But Jesus teaches that in our world, this is the way things will be until the Lord returns. And this is a parable that encourages us to expect that this is the kind of world that we must live in. Now, Jesus is not just teaching that our world is a mixture of good people and bad people, and that it will be like that as long as it continues. The parable has a deeper meaning than that. What Jesus is focusing on is what happens in the world when the message of the kingdom of God is preached. What happens when the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ is preached? And what happens is that there will always be rival messages that go out alongside the gospel. There will always be those who will be teaching something else, something different from the true gospel. There will always be those who will be distorting the true gospel. Where the true message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is being preached, well then, Satan will be active there. He will be seeking to spoil. He will be seeking to destroy what God is doing. And often he'll do it in a very subtle way. The devil will seek to suck people into what seems at first to be very innocent and very genuine. And only when they're truly sucked in will it become evident that this is not the genuine Christian faith. The word that Jesus uses for what was sown in the same place where the wheat had been sown is the word tear. It's a specific word. It's some Bible versions say weed, but it's not just a weed. A weed's a general term. This is a specific word. It's a particular plant that Jesus is referring to. It is a plant that was common in the lands in which Jesus did his teaching. It was known as bearded darnel. And in the early stages of its growth, this plant looks exactly the same as the wheat plant. In the early stages, you couldn't accurately tell which is a tare and which is the wheat. It's only when the head begins to fill out that the difference becomes clear. Because the kernel which bearded darnel produces is a black color. And wheat is not a black color, unless there's something badly wrong with your wheat. And this bearded darnel, this plant known as a tare, it was something that was, not only was it useless as food for man or food for the animals, but it was also commonly served as a host to a poisonous fungus. So it was bad news when you had tares growing among your wheat. You didn't want to just harvest the whole thing and hope that the livestock would survive, that they wouldn't be too badly damaged by what the tares might do to them. Now, can you see what a superbly chosen illustration that is? How the Lord Jesus selected a particular plant, a particular type of weed for his parable. Here you have these two plants growing side by side. They look just the same for a while. And it's only when it gets beyond the early stages, it's only when they begin to produce their fruit, that then you know there's something wrong. Until then, you have no idea there's anything wrong. The whole field looks exactly the same. But there's a problem. And only at the stage where the grain heads are being developed, only then will man be able to tell the difference. Well, today, Satan continues to spread his tares where the good seed of the gospel, the wheat of the gospel, is being sown. Where the true Christian gospel is being sown, there are all sorts of false gospels that are being sown. There are all sorts of messages that sound like the message of the Christian faith, but they're not. They're something quite different. And people won't realize that they're something quite different until their fruit appears and emerges. And in today's society, where people have very little idea of what the Bible actually teaches, people are very ready to swallow any kind of spiritual teaching that sounds vaguely Christian. If it promises to give them what they're looking for, well, then they'll give it a go. And Jesus says that's the way it's going to be in this world. Until the end, that's the way it's going to be. Now, for Christian people, we would wish that it wasn't going to be like that. And we might think to ourselves, would it not be better if God somehow ensured that it wasn't this way? It would be natural for us to be like the servants in the story and to say, well, do you want us now to go out and get rid of all this harmful stuff? But God's not going to do that. And so Jesus is teaching that the Lord Jesus Christ is building his kingdom, and the world in which he is building it is a world that is full of tares as well as the true wheat of the gospel. And there will always be opposition to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. There will always be clever deceptions, subtle teachings that are not the Christian faith, but sound as if they are the Christian faith. There will always be devious teachings that are designed to fool people to thinking that they've got the true message, when in fact it's something different from what Christ and his apostles taught. There are others out there who are sowing their messages. They're trying hard to get their message across, to get their seed planted, and their aim is to produce sons of the evil one. And sons of the evil one will appear for a time to be sons of the kingdom, but they're not. And as Jesus teaches elsewhere in his teachings, it will be by their fruit that we will know them. So in this parable, Jesus teaches us what to expect in the here and now. This is the way things are now. This is the way things will be until Christ returns. Where the good seed has been sown, the false will be sown also. It'll happen where we are, it'll happen in Galway, it'll happen in Nantes, it'll happen in Spain, it will happen wherever God's truth is being proclaimed. But, in the second place, the parable teaches us about the separation to come. Because the wheat and the tares will not always exist side by side together. In the parable in verse 30, the owner says, let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And then the explanation he gives from verse 39, the harvest is the end of the age, the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Jesus speaks about the separation that is to come. God has appointed a day when the wheat and the tares will be separated, and they will be separated forever. And when is that? Well, that is the day when Jesus Christ returns with his holy angels to judge all who have ever lived on the face of this earth. And Jesus speaks clearly here about the reality of the judgment of hell. The Lord Jesus Christ is in the Bible, the one who teaches more about hell than anyone else does. No one speaks as bluntly as Christ does. He knew clearly what lay in store for those who were not his. Many people today try to convince themselves that there is no such thing as life after death. Well, Jesus believed fully that there is such a thing as life after death, and it's there for everyone. The reason why people don't want to believe there's life after death is it is because they don't want to. They know that if they are going to get what they deserve, well, then that will be a painful thing for them. And so people would like to believe that when they die, that's the end, that there will be no one to answer to, that there will be no existence beyond this earthly life. But Jesus did not teach that. Jesus taught about a continuous wailing and a continuous gnashing of teeth. The Lord Jesus teaches that there is everlasting life, but he also teaches that there is everlasting destruction. And the contrast could not be greater between the way things are now and the way things will be when Christ returns. Now in this world, you have the two existing side by side. There is the wheat, and there in among the wheat are all the tares. There are the sons of the kingdom, and there are sons of the devil. But when Christ the King returns, everything changes, and the two will go to the opposite extremes. The sons of the kingdom, we are told, will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. God's people have to wait for that great day of separation, when those who are against Christ are put away from Christ and his people as far as they can be forever. And the Lord's people will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. What a glorious picture that is. It's not just saying that everything will be all right in the end. It's a wonderful picture. Shining like the sun itself in the kingdom of our Heavenly Father. This is something that Jesus wants us to understand. This is worth waiting for. It's not going to come here in this present life, but it will come, and it is worth waiting for. So this parable teaches us both about the way things are now, and it teaches us about the great separation that is to come. And each one of us is either wheat or tare. We are one of the other. We're either sons of the kingdom or we are sons of the evil one. When the great separation comes, we will either be brought into the kingdom of our Father or we will be put into the eternal furnace. And Christ's teaching is very plain and very clear. And he urges us to make sure that we are on the right side, that we are those who are looking to him and trusting in him. And this parable that we have here, we have the parable, we have the explanation. It's absolutely clear. Jesus tells us what different things within the parable mean. And he is telling us that we are in here. We are in here. And either we are his precious wheat or we are the offensive tares. The Son of Man will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. People are great at taking offense at things these days. All sorts of people are trying to silence other people by saying that what they have said is offensive. And because it's offensive to them, it must not be said. Well, it's what's offensive to Christ that really matters. And he will get rid of everything that offends him. There is this great separation to come. Now, the question that all of this might raise in our minds is the question, why the delay? Why is it left until the time of harvest for the separation to be made? Why does it not happen earlier? Why does God, who is capable of everything good, why does God not just remove the evil teachings from this world? Why does he not just remove all the false gospels and cause it to be the case that people can't teach things that sound like the Christian faith but aren't the Christian faith? Why does God not silence them all? And the only answer that we are given in this parable is probably not one that satisfies us. The owner says in answer to the question as to whether his servants should pull up the tares, he says no, because while you are pulling up the tares, you may root up the wheat along with them. It was hard to tell the difference between the wheat and the tares. So there was a danger that in separating the two too early, mistakes would be made. And so we have to accept that God in his wisdom has decreed that this is the way things will be throughout history. And God must have his good purpose in this. Sometimes perhaps we get little glimpses into the mysterious ways and purposes of God. We have to believe, in light of what we're taught here, that the tares that exist cannot really damage the wheat. The tares in this parable are not like the thorns in the parable of the sower. The existence of counterfeit Christianity, fake good news, doesn't harm the real good news. There's also, we could reflect that we would be deceiving ourselves if we imagined that we would be better Christians if there was no opposition for us to face, if there were no false gospels around. That's not God's way. God would have us constantly aware of the falsehoods, of the dangers, and of the challenges that are out there, rather than having us as those who are complacent. The existence and the presence of false teaching makes us all the more aware of the need to be on our guard, to examine our beliefs, to make sure that what we hold to really is the truth of God's word and not just something we've absorbed from someone else. We want to make sure that the fruit that we're producing is the golden, life-giving grain rather than the black, poisonous type. And these things make us ask good questions. It has often been the case throughout church history, and perhaps our own lives have verified it, that it's the presence of false teaching that drives God's people to the scriptures. Where we're challenged about some teaching, is that really true? We hear something and we know that doesn't sound right. Or there is something that we believe in the scriptures and people are saying that that's not what the Bible really says. Well, that makes us think again and to check on what God's word really says. And so we're not to despair in this life when we're aware that there are many false messages out and about and many hundreds of thousands of people who are following ways and they think that this is a Christian thing that they're into and it's not. We are not to be discouraged when we see that that's the way it is. Jesus teaches that it's not a good thing if all men speak well of us. It's actually a good thing if people tell us that we're wrong and that we're outdated and that our beliefs have no place in a modern society. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." There are religious people who won't get any flack for the things that they believe, because their beliefs tie in with the things that are trendy in today's world. Christian faith doesn't tie in with the things that are trendy in today's Western society. And opposition to the things we believe is a sign that Satan perceives that God's kingdom is advancing. The tares are only sown where the good seed is being sown. And it should be an encouragement to us. Even though it's not pleasant to have to live in a world where the tares are all around, it is not a sign that God's cause is being defeated. It is actually a means by which God will bring glory and praise and honor to himself. The destruction of the tares, that is the plan of God. And the destruction of the tares will serve the glory of God, even as also the ingathering of the precious wheat will serve the glory of God. God will be praised for both. He will be praised for dealing with the tares at the right time, in the right way, and he will be praised forever for those sons of the kingdom who are brought into the kingdom of their Father, those who will shine forth as the sun forever, those who will forever praise him for his grace to us, his goodness to us, and will praise him that the good seed was sown in our lives. We live in a world where there is much falsehood that is being proclaimed, but there is one message that is true. There is one message that will produce a harvest that the Lord loves and the Lord delights in. And those who are true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are the true wheat that he speaks of in this parable, he will come and he will gather those to himself to be with him forever, to shine with him in the kingdom of our Father in heaven. So let us remember this parable of Jesus, the subtlety of the devil, but the triumph of our Lord and Savior. Amen.